This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good Friday morning, the Friday before a very, very extra long weekend. You are tuned in to Five for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I hope you enjoyed last week's episode where I gave you a preview of five channels every entrepreneur should follow. Hope you check some of those channels out and maybe found a thing or two that you liked. This week, we're going to be doing a little time traveling. I wish it was a Thursday so I could use the phrase throwback Thursday, but it's a Friday, so flashback Friday? Flashback Friday sounds good. Flashback Friday, 5 for Fortune, we are going to be looking back at stuff that were invented during the 90s. That period between 1991 and 1999 saw a technological boom, and everything evolved so rapidly from analog to digital, and the 90s became the foundation of the super integrated digital age that we are living in right now. So for this episode, I am going to focus on the digital age things that were invented in the 90s and have become household devices that we use every day, some on a daily basis practically. These are the gadgets and tech concepts that were made in the 90s that have evolved into the things that form the digital world that we live in right now. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and this episode is called 5 Digital Age Inventions from the 90s that we still use every day. Now, this wouldn't be a show about the digital age inventions of the 90s if we didn't talk about the one thing that encompasses the digital age itself. It's the reason behind the digital age, and it's the foundation that the times we live in are built upon, and that is the internet. And the story of how quickly the internet came to be is as fascinating as the era that it was invented in. The internet basically mirrored the fast-paced, rapid evolution of the 90s and exploded onto the scene so quickly that you could say it changed the world literally overnight. It's a world shrinker in the sense that the more advanced it gets, the more we connect with areas everywhere from around the world, making the globe a smaller and smaller place, virtually at least. Let's check out the internet as number one on today's list of five digital age inventions from the 90s that we still use every day.
Number one.
There was this publication that was sent out back on November the 12th, 1990, called World Wide Web Proposal for a Hypertext Project by Tim Berners-Lee and Robert Calliau. It basically details what you need and how you would go about implementing a consumer-friendly version of the internet into our everyday lives, or basically how the internet could be made accessible and useful to the average computer user. Within a year of this publication, the World Wide Web made its debut and changed the concept of digital connectivity forever. And by 1993, a browser called Mosaic became the bridge between the consumer and the World Wide Web. It literally made the internet user-friendly and easy to use. And the moment this happened, the internet became a mainstream tool. The concept of sending mail digitally or getting information not so instantly. The connection speeds back then were insanely slow and unstable, but you know, at the time, it beats walking up to the library and flipping pages for 3 hours, so considered relatively instantly. Once the internet became user-friendly and it went public, it spread like wildfire. It was this new untapped blank canvas for people to create on and, you know, sort of leverage on as well, and that's exactly what they did. So first up, commercialization, because of course, web giants started to pop up all over the place. In 1994, Yahoo was founded. And for a lot of us, that was our first search engine. It was the portal to literally anything that you can find on the internet. And then an even bigger giant called Google showed up in 1998. After that, real networks, or progressive networks as they were called back then, were formed in 1995. And they pioneered the idea of streaming media. They laid the groundwork for every other streaming service that you use today. So everything you get from like Spotify to Netflix to anything that you can stream, YouTube was based on the concept that Real Network set up, that you could stream movies and video online. And then, of course, content consumption exploded in 1999 at the edge of the new millennium when Napster arrived on the scene. The music industry blew up, but so did piracy, and so did the concept of sharing content online and using public computers as servers and hubs. The accessibility of the internet and its ease of use is why we still use it today more than ever. It's how we get our information, right? How we get our daily news, and we even call people less because of things like WhatsApp and Messenger and all this texting, because you could just drop them a text instead of calling them. And other messaging services have leverage on this as well, so much so that we stay more connected but less connected at the same time. And all these things wouldn't exist without the World Wide Web. Of all the things on today's list, right, I had to name this first because it's become such an integral part of our everyday lives that I would dare say it's the most transformative invention of not just the 90s, but of our time as a whole. Okay, next up is something that is not as big as the all-encompassing internet, but it's something that not many people know was invented way back in the 90s. It's also one of those things that completely changed the way people design digitally. And I'm not talking about digital artwork alone. I mean, like, from print to website design to widespread use in the advertising agencies and advertising field. We're talking about five digital age inventions from the 90s that we still use every day. And number two on this list is Adobe Photoshop.
Number two.
Photography saw some massive changes in the 90s. We saw the first commercially produced digital SLR or DSLR, which was Kodak's DCS-100. It wasn't, by any standard, it was an engineering masterpiece that was built on the concept of Willard S. Boyle and George E. Smith's sensor mechanism from 1969. So it basically built on that concept. And just like that, with the invention of the DSLR, the age of digital photography was born. And with digital photography came professional photography's most transformative tool, which was Adobe Photoshop. The genius behind Photoshop lies in its layers. The simple concept of allowing designers to design on multiple layers digitally gave photographers, advertisers, and graphic designers virtually unlimited freedom to do what they wanted with their creations. The possibilities here were practically endless. Now, Photoshop 1.0 was invented back in 1990 by brothers Thomas and John Knoll. John, by the way, is the man who came up with the idea of Rogue One, a Star Wars story. He's the guy behind the entire concept for that movie. And he's also the guy who worked on the amazing effects of Grand Moff Tarkin in the movie. For those who don't know, the actor who played Grand Moff Tarkin wasn't around anymore to play the person. So they sort of they textured his face onto another actor. It's very controversial, but also from a technological standpoint or from a production point of view, it was an amazing effort. Anyway, Photoshop was so flexible and it's now the default photo editing software in any photographer or graphic designer's workstation. It basically flipped the advertising industry on its head, right? Because now people could manipulate photos to look completely real even when they were not. And if you forgot to put a mustache on your model, Photoshop could do that for you. And then, of course, there's all the other controversial stuff that comes with that much power. So making a model who isn't very slim look slimmer is a problem. Making someone fairer or darker depending on what the agency wants. Blending two pictures together and making them think it's real, that's another big problem. Especially in this era of fake news, people have manipulated photos and a lot of people believe that it's real because it looks very real. But I guess with every great tool, there's always going to be the pros and cons, and what you can use it for. Every good thing is a double-edged sword if you really think about it. And the best part about Photoshop is that it's so accessible and so user-friendly that it started to become a mainstream tool. It's a tool used by professionals in advertising firms, in some of the biggest advertising firms, and it's also something graphic design students use at home to make memes on the internet. So there's always going to be the pros and cons to everything, but that doesn't change the fact that Photoshop changed the landscape of advertising and photo editing forever. Right, Right, we'll need to take a quick break now from this 90-centric episode for some very 2017 ads and messages. By the way, Photoshop, it joins Google and Xerox as a very rare product whose name is now become a common English verb. So it's in the dictionary, the word Photoshop, when you say, hey, go Photoshop it or Photoshop something. How cool is that? Stick around for more inventions from the 90s that are coming right up. This is Five for Fortune on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Five for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj. Right, we're talking about inventions from the 90s that we still use today. Well, digital age inventions at least. And it wouldn't be complete on the list if I didn't mention Linux. Now, you're probably thinking, why Linux? It's not exactly mainstream. It's not exactly a system that we use every day. So why would I cover it in this episode? Well, yes and no. Maybe as the general public, we don't use or you don't get involved with Linux as much and you're not involved with IT or programming as such. But Linux is a major part of the digital ecosystem and we're sometimes completely unaware of it. Let's check out Linux as number 3 on this list.
Number 3.
If you're wondering where the name Linux comes from, it actually is named after Linus Torvalds. So basically back in 1991, Linus was a student at the University of Helsinki and he was still living with his mother when he started building a new operating system for his 33 megahertz Intel PC. Yeah, 33 megahertz. Now, Linus says that it was just a hobby and he never designed this new system to become a major mainstream thing. His idea was just to improve on the Unix operating system that was being used by Intel at the time. But as it turns out, the notice that Linus posted on the internet newsgroup announcing what the project was turned out to be one of the most important moments in the history of computing. You see, we think Linux is this small, unpopular operating system because it isn't the mainstream standard. When it comes to notebooks and desktop computers, it can't compete with Windows and Apple's OS to some degree. But when it comes to programming and hosting and, you know, being the back end of every major online service that we use, Linux is the go-to operating system. Linux is also open source. It's an open source operating system, and that is the flexibility that gives Linux its biggest strength. So you're basically using Linux every single day without even realizing it. Linux is the operating system that powers Google, it powers Amazon, Facebook, it also powers Twitter, and so many other services across the internet. And if you own an Android phone, for like many of us do, I own an Android phone, then hey, you're using Linux there too. Linux has become such a force that even Microsoft cannot ignore it anymore. So after years and years of ignoring Linux and treating it like it was nothing, Microsoft is now working to ensure that its software plays very nicely with Linux. So maybe it was just a hobby for Linus Torvalds, but his hobby turned out to be a revolution for the digital age. Very cool stuff, right? Hey, if you're just tuning in and you want to catch up on the rest of the show, just download the BFM app from the Apple App Store if you're on iOS and on Google Play if you're on Android. And, you know, the BFM app is also available on Apple's CarPlay as well. Speaking of downloading stuff on your smartphone, do you know when that started? When people started having cell phones? Here's another question. How many text messages do you send in a day? Or, you know, on WhatsApp or any other chat service, doesn't matter. How many text messages do you send in a day or today alone? Just think about it. We are talking about five inventions from the 90s that we still use today as part of the digital age. And next up on the list is text messaging and the first cell phone.
Number 4.
This goes way back to 1992. A former developer at Sema Group Telecoms named Neil Papworth sent the first text message to Richard Jarvis. That's a cool name, right? Very Iron Man, Jarvis. Richard was the director at Vodafone. Now, keep in mind that mobile phones at the time did not have keyboards or keypads or any way to enter text in. So what Neil did was he typed the message, Merry Christmas, on his PC and he sent it off to Richard Jarvis. Can you imagine hooking up your phone to your computer every time you want to send a message? You know, now I come to think about it, it's not that weird because we do it all the time on the desktop version of Messenger and even on WhatsApp web. So what this means is that text messaging was possible, but the average consumer didn't have a way to do this using their phones because they didn't have keypads. Now, mobile phones, by the way, have been around since the 1980s. But then a little company called Nokia showed up and released the first real cell phone in 1994, and they called it the Nokia 1011 or 1011 or 1011, whatever you want to call it. So if you thought the 3310 was the father of all cell phones, the 1011 was the granddaddy of them all. It changed the way phones were viewed, it changed the way phones were used. Before, these phones were clunky and big and weird, and they looked like big walkie-talkies, not very stylish, and a long way from the Galaxy S8s and the iPhones that we have today. The Nokia 1011 became the first mass-produced GSM phone, and it made cell phones mainstream with consumers. And it was also the first mobile phone to support SMS text messaging. So you can imagine every phone that you buy today and every text that you send out, doesn't matter on which messaging app, could be WhatsApp, could be Messenger, anything, or SMS, basic SMS, it all started with the first text message way back in 1992, and then it all became public thanks to Nokia back in 1994. Right, we are at the final segment on today's episode. You know, it's weird and fascinating when you think about the 90s. I mean, I'm sure everyone has their favorite era that they grew up in, but I remember the 90s being this strange mixture of everything analog and like a graceful introduction of the digital age. There was like a nice blend of both, you know what I mean? I'd be able to go outside and play in the evenings and enjoy that part of recreation, and then I could come home and play video games on the Nintendo or whatever console I was using at that time. There wasn't an overabundance of either side. There was like a nice blend of both. And then the digital age slowly seeped in, which I'm not complaining about. I'm just saying that it was a weird and a nice time to grow up in. Speaking of video games, though, you didn't think that I was going to cap off this list without talking about the PlayStation, did you? That is number 5 on today's list of 5 inventions from the 90s that we still use every day.
Number 5.
If I had to name 5 digital age things that we use every day, there is no way that the PlayStation isn't going to be on at least one of those 5 things on that list. The name PlayStation has become synonymous with video games, and it is the default term people use to describe consoles. It's like calling any chocolate drink Milo or any instant soup noodles Maggie. Now don't get me wrong, video games have always been popular. Ever since the 80s, video games were there to stay, and everyone knew that video games were not going anywhere. But there was this weird transitional time in the 90s when electronic companies wanted to expand the market by installing set-top boxes in everyone's homes, and these set-top boxes would be able to play games and store movies and store music as well. And, you know, you could also browse the web, slowly, I'm sure, but still be able to browse the web. So what happened was Sony came in and they cut through all that stuff with a very simple solution. They invented the PlayStation and they made it run on CDs. Now, the CD-ROM format was perfect for 2 reasons. One, it allowed game makers to craft more realistic worlds and landscapes because of how much data that the CD could contain. And two, because this newfound freedom, it allowed games to target more mature audiences because you could create more things, so why not create things for a different market as well? Suddenly, and literally overnight with the invention of the PlayStation, video games were not just a children's toy anymore. Sony's PlayStation became the first console to sell over 100 million units, and it expanded the industry because video games were now meant for everyone, not just for children anymore. And today, video games and the PlayStation itself have become massive parts of the digital age and the digital subculture. It's also the platform where many new effects and technology gets tested, including stuff like virtual reality and augmented reality immersion. I mean, we just had a major video game convention called E3 that hosted tens of thousands of people. So I guess it's safe to say that video games are here to stay, and the true mainstream explosion of the video game happened in 1994 when Sony unleashed the first PlayStation to the world. And that's a wrap. PlayStations, text messaging, Linux, Photoshop, and the internet are five major digital age inventions from the 90s that we still use today, some almost daily because of how they've sort of become a part of our daily lives and culture. Next week is going to be interesting because I'm hoping to get a guest in. He is an expert on marketing and entrepreneurship, so that should be a lot of fun. That's happening at 11 a.m. Friday next week, so don't miss out on that. This has been Five for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'll be back in a bit for Biz Bytes at noon. You know, lots of good stories today, so you don't want to miss out on that. It's a good way to cap off the week and kickstart the extra long weekend. Stay tuned, folks. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.